Welcome to the Birds FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Truth Buried Under Informational Sewage. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Monday, and it is the 29th of March in the year 2024. We're in a very crazy time, and there's a lot of flooding of information right now that creates alternate realities. Much of it is intentional and by design to try to obfuscate the truth in which we are all trying to seek. What this is increasingly a desperation of a society, a desperation of people that are trying to keep us away from the Great Awakening, which is not the awakening that we would think. It's the awakening within our spiritualness and who we truly are as people. We are dealing in a time of an incredibly evil cabal. We've known that, but it gets the more that we learn about them, the more wretched and the more disgusting they are. So we're going to talk a lot about this tonight and also how to frame them, and how to discuss them and how to look at them, because part of the problem is they're hiding in every corner of the world. They hide as Zionists. They hide as Catholics. They hide as priests, pastors. They hide as ministers. They hide as congressmen and lawyers. They hide as senators. They hide as executive class, GS executive class, SCS class in government. They hide in board members and boardrooms. Some hide as your neighbors. This is the problem we have in discerning this evil and how to come to a common understanding of who they are. Because in the end of the day, unless we purge this evil, it will continue to grow like a cancer, and it is growing rapidly. The one thing we can't deny is that this infection of the mind is not staying still. It's moving. So much of that is a level of understanding that most people don't want to grasp, even Christians. They deny demons, they deny the existence of deliverance, they even deny miracles of the living God. And that we have to change. One thing, patriots, we have to be very aware of, and we've known this more and more, is how evil the COVID shot was. And the more that we dig into it, the worse that it gets, the darker it becomes. COVID was a complete coercion, especially the vaccines, and it's surrounded with lies, fear, force. They were all the tools used to darken the days for us and to try to force humanity into self-suicide. Many stood against the vax, which is good. Unfortunately, they've left us, many of us, exposed, and probably most of us in one way or another, exposed to the shedding of the spike proteins. So it is a great benefit to all of us to have a company by the name of Warrior Essentials that has now developed a product that it's patent pending, and a formula that works with the power of the body to turn your body's natural abilities on to purge all of that from your body. And it's designed for anyone who has jabbed or around those who were jabbed. And it's in a three-part series. It's a remove toxins, repair circulatory health, restore your epigenome. Now, this is not approved by the FDA. I need to say that. It's also not intended to be a product to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But just to give you a little bit of reassurance, the FDA was also the magical agency that helped deliver the COVID shot for you. So I don't see any downside here. There is nothing like this product anywhere on the market today, and there's a special offer for Bards Nation. If you head on over to recoverwithbards.com, recoverwithbards.com, those links are below, you'll save up to 50% off the regular prices plus free shipping, and you can get rid of those spike proteins and boost your health at the same time, which is awesome. So again, head on over to recoverwithbards.com, recoverwithbards.com, and get that 50% off and regular prices off the regular prices and free shipping. Do that today. Okay, so I'm beginning to begin with something a little more uplifting before we dig into things. First, puppy report. Puppies are doing great. I get daily videos of them continuing their training as they learn to encounter other animals. They've learned to, they were introduced to more dogs today and possibly the pigs. Again, this facility down south of Roseburg in Gold Hill is pretty amazing. They have multiple, like 13 different pastures, plus they have multiple lanes in which they can put the dogs in and introduce animals. Remember, this is a livestock guardian dog. It has to become very familiar with different animals and the ability to discern friend from foe. And it's good news, too, because I just got word today that the neighbors up near the property up in Sutherland, Oregon, have lost several goats and possibly some sheep to and a couple llamas as well to a mountain lion that's up there or cougar, one of the two. So I'm eager to get my kids grown up because part of their mission is to kill those sorts of things, and I'll be very happy if they do. So they are doing well. They're getting well-trained, and they will continue to be well-trained as they move along. I'll be visiting them tomorrow as I head south tomorrow to Yuba City, where I will be teaching for on Wednesday and Thursday at the School of Excellence. And I'll give you updates as I go on that. Podcast will be a regular time, but it's an exciting time. I'm looking forward to it. Actually, podcasts might shift 1 hour early. Just be prepared for that on the morning shows because I think I start teaching at 8, if I'm not mistaken. So I might shift those back an hour. So just be aware of that. But there'll be a lot of good material. It's an opportunity to engage with some college age type students with a lot of questions about life and hopefully help them find their way to a deeper relationship in Christ. So that's exciting. That's a couple days of that. Yes, indeed. And then the other news tonight, which I just wanted to share with you, is I got our bush beans in the ground tonight. I started them and then I planted them. The starters look great. I got 41 or 42 plants in tonight. I'm checking the temperature. I might actually put in zucchini yet tonight and possibly some squash. So one bed is done. And we also planted, I think about 4-9 different grow bags of russet potatoes tonight, which are russet or Yukons, like new potatoes. We mix. So we did that. So we're starting to get our garden going. It's exciting. The weather's turning right. So I hope you're doing the same. It's all good stuff. So, okay, let's dig into some interesting craziness. And there is a lot of interesting craziness around this. I want to begin with a post here from Commander Rob Green. Commander Rob Green, we've had on the show here before. And this is on X. Let me just play what he has to say here. I think it's very important. Commander Rob Green is one of the great heroes of our time. I want you to hear this.
We are not doing what it takes right now to make sure that readiness is prioritized. What's actually happening right now is senior leaders are protecting themselves, the institution, as we discussed in the article, and their own careers. They are willing to risk the services in order not to take any personal risk. What we're seeing right now is a devastation of manning in just the Navy itself, in the fleet. When this thing started out, we were at 7,000 gaps on operational sea duty billets. And in the 2.5 years since that came to light, that has tripled. There's now 21,000 gaps in operational billets at sea, and it's only getting worse. The services are going to miss recruiting, they estimate, by 41,000 recruits. And the only way, as Admiral Lee and I wrote in our article, the only way we can get to the bottom of this is restoring trust. We've got to study this thing. We've got to understand exactly what went wrong and how we can identify those things to never happen again. And we show how the law was broken and trust was destroyed with service members and with the American people. We had service members kicked out, turned homeless with children. I talked to one individual who had to live out of a vehicle with kids. For a long time, ended up being about a year before he was able to move into a family member's basement. Couldn't get a job because of the characterization of the discharge he was given. It wasn't a fully honorable discharge, all for standing up for his religious beliefs. That kind of thing was happening all over the place. Another young man isolated from his SEAL team, treated poorly, forced to be escorted into his own building. He was given manual labor. He was told that the only thing he was allowed to do was yard work. And so the very last thing he did before that young man committed suicide was doing the yard work outside of the building, he was no longer permitted to enter. Those kinds of things, the American people see this. So if you're a senior leader and you're listening to this interview, we need to own this. We need to embrace the red, and we need to take whatever personal consequences come from it so that we can rebuild trust with the American people. So if something goes hot in the world, which it's highly likely in our current environment, we're going to have a force that's manned properly to respond to that.
Well, he writes here, too, that I want to read this because he says, I'm an active duty officer. This is his post on X. I'm on the inside and can tell you there is no greater domestic threat to the Constitution than the Department of Defense and many who currently lead her. Their unconstitutional actions have destroyed trust and made us weaker in the face of growing foreign interests, or I'm sorry, foreign threats. They chased off faithful and freedom-loving military families. Many were separated involuntarily straight into homelessness. Some service members isolated and abused their own chains of command were driven to suicide. These leaders are delusional to say that the escalating recruiting crisis is just because of the competitive job market or the lack of volunteerism or even the self-centered post-millennial generation. No, it is your own actions that have caused the 41,000 recruits to shortfall predicted this year. Until we truly study what happened and attempt to repair all the harms done, the American people will not trust you with their sons and daughters, and they shouldn't. Our readiness will suffer until you own this or resign or turn over the reins of leaders who will honor their oaths into the Constitution, even if it means personal career risk. These people are traitors. It's the only way to say it. They're traitors. And they deserve a traitor's death. Be blunt. Because they're destroying this public. They're destroying this military, which is a great military, was a great military. Now, I want to follow it with this. Please watch this power. This is powerful. This comes from Wall Street Apes. What was 22 years in military service for? What was it all for? And so this is a video I want you to listen to. Very powerful, very compelling. It's about 7 minutes, but it's to the point. This is a gold star wife.
Common Sense 101. What was it all for? What was it all for? I just watched members of the American, supposed American Congress, dancing around and singing on the House floor, waving Ukrainian flags because they just passed 100 billions of dollars for Ukraine aid, extra $100 million for Ukraine's borders to be protected so that those who are fighting age don't get to leave. You have to stay and you have to be thrown into the meat grinder with the rest of the poor young Ukrainians for what it's not worth. And I can say that from the perspective of a military gold star widow. What was it all? What happened? Like, I carry my husband's bronze star for military achievement everywhere I go to remind me, yeah, you know what? I did live that. Yeah, I'm very proud of him. Yes, that all happened. But when I see American congressional representatives waving Ukrainian flags on the House floor, spare me your excuses, because you don't get to have any. Thank you to Lauren Boebert, my Colorado representative, who voted against it. She's one of the few. There's a list of others, and thank you guys for doing that, for sure, because we appreciate it. You need to fire your campaign manager there, Lauren, and hire me, because I'm full of fire and I would get it done for you. You need another term. All the sleepless nights, all the deployments, raising the children pretty much by myself because he was deployed and he was in theater most of our marriage. He was on one side of the world or another. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like to anticipate the dreaded knock at your door and see casualty assistants standing in front of you. I used to live, we lived in on post for years. So I've seen that, but with other people. You don't know what that's like. There were awesome times. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Best time of my life. Most challenging time. But I wouldn't trade him for anything. And nobody compares. So, but why in the world would you think it's acceptable to do that? To wave the Ukrainian flag on the House floor where you are supposed to represent constituents such as myself, such as my husband, who gave his life for this country so that I could be free, so that his children could be free, so that his soldiers could be free, so that we could be free right now. We're not we're not free. We're constantly surveilled, and you steal all our money in via IRS and taxes so you can pass it along to these Ukrainian oligarchs who are just this Ukrainian laundromat LLC, where we just keep seeing these pictures and these videos and these news reports, and all of a sudden these people are just fabulously wealthy. What do you not, this is not the days where you could just put out one news station like Walter Cronkite or something, or some of those other ones from that period of time. We know things now, and I'm not happy about any of this as a taxpayer, as a constituent, as an American citizen. All of my life, I was born here. This is my country. I'm not from anywhere else. I'm not a foreign national. I was born here. My parents were born here. My husband was born here. My husband's family is born here. What? And then you can't figure out when you go back to your district and people yell and scream and spit on you. We are going to remember that you did this. People are struggling. They're barely surviving, and you're sending all our money to a foreign country that hates us. And they're grinding up their young people like hamburger meat. I mean, Zelensky said he's just going to fight until the last Ukrainian. Oh, yeah, and then, you know, they'll start sending our guys over there to fight foreign wars once again. And end up with a bunch of Gold Star widows like me. But you know what? You can't take from me. You cannot take my lived and learned experience and my life with him. You can't steal that from me. All the wonderful memories, the laughs and the lessons, the things he taught me, the things that we did together. You can't take those things away from me. I know you think you want to, but you can't. That's my treasure. You understand that? And no, by the way, none of you can dance. So you probably need to just sit in the taxpayer-funded chairs and just be quiet. You can't dance, not even one of you, none of you. So just know that while you're prancing around, while you take another 2-3 week recess on my dime, what good is it to gain the whole world but lose your soul? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you might want to start looking for another job, incidentally.
Amen. She's spot on, and it's a pain she carries. It's real. In the meantime, while our soldiers are over fighting, dying for these creeps, Hollywood's playing this game.
A load of this. Just a joke.
After all these years, I've never met the Olsen twins. He introduced me to them. I said to him, how do I tell them apart? He says, Ashley swallows.
How is this funny?
Is it true that you used to give Mary Kate acting lessons? He tell her, act like this never happened.
Bob Saget, who ran the girl in 1990?
What kind of joke is that? And it's crazy, because it seems to be the theme with all these young stars.
I may end up running off with you myself, you know.
That's what Steven says.
Steven? It's Steven Spielberg?
Yeah. Hi, Steven. I love you.
Second best again. Story of my life with women, yeah.
She even talks about being at those Hollywood parties.
Well, I've grown up very fast, and it's not very normal to see a 9-year-old at a big Hollywood party drinking.
You heard that right. At 9 years old, she was at Hollywood parties getting drunk. And it's crazy how it's such a common theme for these childhood stars to get institutionalized for acting out.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And today, breaking alleged honeypot operation disclosed in Atlanta targeting Georgia legislators and lobbyists. Witnesses allege GOP district official described sex ring operating in Atlanta club designed to compromise officials under Gold Dome. Whistlers also describe hearing GOP Chair McCoon working against MAGA officials and party. So this is part of the whole scam. We know this. We know this. We know that the children are always at the core of everything. They're at the core of all things. Like this. Just an ex-cop who shot his ex-wife and girlfriend who he impregnated at 15 has killed himself after getting into a high-speed chase with police. 39-year-old Elias Huzar is dead after kidnapping his 1-year-old and killing 2 women. I-5 was blocked after Huzar got into a high-speed chase with police, with shots reportedly being fired. According to officials, the end of the pursuit, Huzar shot himself in the head. Luckily, his 1-year-old son he kidnapped was unharmed. Huzar launched the attacks on Monday, the same day he was due in court for rape. He was arrested on February 3rd after his 17-year-old girlfriend says he was attacked. He attacked her 16-year-old friend in his home. He was charged with a second-degree rape, furnishing alcohol for minors, and third-degree rape. He was on the police force. Just kind of want to emphasize that little thing. We are in a crisis of our nation. It's a massive crisis. It's a crisis of morality. And it's all generating more and more problems as we go along. These people are sick. These people we have no room for. And it's literally this insanity that we deal with in a public right now as we try to get to the truth. And the truth is always going to end up at the same place. This is the issue. Everything that we're dealing with right now is going to lead us to one common understanding. It doesn't matter whether they're a Zionist, it doesn't matter whether they're Muslim, it doesn't matter whether they're a part of a mafia, it doesn't matter whether they're part of Han Dynasty, the Black Pope, the Jesuits. It can be the boardroom, it can be the CEOs, it can be people in the cubicles, it can be your neighbor, it can be your garbage man. It doesn't matter their faith, it doesn't matter their creed, it doesn't matter their color, it doesn't matter anything. Because they have one common theme in mind. Every one of these people, including and all these people, love kids in the wrong way. They love kids in the wrong way. They're pedophiles. And when you start to look at this whole thing and you want to step into the how to save the world, it's pretty simple. When we can get through all of this truth and swipe away all of the garbage that they try to put on top of it to obfuscate the real issues, and we will end up at one common theme. And what is that common theme? The common theme is that they love kids. They love kids. And every one of them needs to go. So I have rather than trying to get into the divisiveness of it's the Zionists that are running thing, it's this and that, because that always gets people's back up. And then you get called things, ugly things. like you're an anti-Semite, which I'm not. I'm just an anti-pedophile. And I'm an anti-child rapist. And I'm an anti-child exploitationist. And I'm an anti-child trafficker. And I'm an anti-take advantage of any child in any way that causes destruction to the little ones. That's what I am. So it's very simple. And this is the way forward for America. And I mean this. And this is something we have to be very serious about. Now, Louisiana just did a great thing, if you didn't hear about it, and I'll come back to what I'm going to say. It's very simple. They're dealing with a pedophile in the right way, a man that raped a girl under 10 repeatedly, and she came forward and told her testimony. The district attorney was incredible. That man needs a presidential medal. His comment was, she had the courage to tell the testimony. I had the responsibility to tell the truth. And to find the truth and to create the punishment for the crime, what is going to happen? Surgical removal of his balls. I'm not kidding. That's exactly how every criminal should be handled that does this. Surgical removal of his balls. And the judge approved it. That's his conviction. And that's just the beginning. We have to be so hard-lined on these pedophiles that they need to know that no matter where they go, no matter what they do, they will be pursued, they will be found, and they will be held accountable for their crimes. And we can go straight biblical because Bible tells us that they can be a millstone. And so you can be a millstone, or we could do the David thing and just crush their skull. Or we could do the Joshua thing and hang them and crush their skull. I don't care. But we keep it biblical because these people are actually destroying the world by trying to destroy the children. And they're all part of the same issue. Edward Dow put up a post today. It's a good one. It's just generally just a framing of this whole thing. He says, we live in a post-conspiracy world. In the past, governments would go to great lengths to hide their secrets. They don't care if the truth comes out now because the public no longer knows what is meant by the truth. No one can tell the difference between what is real or fake. 2016 X-Files doctor, they're talking to Mulder. Sadly, this seems accurate. Take a listen to this short piece by your favorite Kenyan, Obama.
Understand, it's not necessary for people to believe this information in order to weaken democratic institutions. You just have to flood a country's public square with enough raw sewage. You just have to raise enough questions, spread enough dirt, plant enough conspiracy theorizing that citizens no longer know what to believe. Once they lose trust in their leaders, in mainstream media, in political institutions, in each other, in the possibility of truth, the game's won.
That was Obama. Don't ever forget it. This is who we are dealing with. These people make me sick. They absolutely make me sick. They are all about trying to scramble people's minds and keep people in enslavement so that they can continue to rape and do kids. Let's be clear. Genghis Khan, great account on X. Is the Torah like the Bible? This is a great question. The Old Testament is the closest thing we have to the original story, not the Torah. You must understand that the first five books were based on the original Jewish Torah, but you must also understand how much the Torah has changed since the time and become a second to the Babylonian Talmud in the way the Jews apply their laws. Think like this. Moses came down the mountain with a set of rules to behave like civilized people, the Ten Commandments. We as Christians still try to run our societies according to those rules. So in reality, the real true nation is Israel. The real nation of Israel is us. What happened to the Jews is simple. They spent time in Babylon as slaves and got re-educated in Satanism and child sacrifice. They didn't rebel. They soaked it up so much they changed their entire religion and moved away from Moses completely. They added more commandments that support a self-created world supremacist view that decided, amongst other things, because they rewrote it, God spoke through them, therefore they are equal to God and their world is equal to God, therefore Jews don't need no Moses to talk to the big guy anymore. They freely admit that they just sat around discussing religion and that formed the Talmud. Then afterward, they proclaimed that the Talmud, the word of God, and it set the way for the Torah to be interpreted. So when people try to separate the two, they can't, because the Torah can't be interpreted without the Talmud to lay the ground rules. In other words, a group of rabbis who clearly were fond of organized crime and child sex rewrote the Ten Commandments of Moses, gave them after talking directly to God, forbidding such things, and instead allowed and encouraged it all against non-Jews. This is not even debatable. Jews don't even deny it. Watching Christians defend Jews is hilarious and pathetic in equal measure. The head rabbi of their time had group meetings where they would discuss exactly how to get around the laws of Moses, because God's commandments forbid most of the Babylonian culture as evil and satanic. They worked out twisted loopholes that allowed slavery and murder, pedophilia and organized crime, just as long as it was only the goyim, or non-Jews that were the victims, also translated as cattle. Then they rewrote the version again, and not just encouraged these things as well as to take power and control of countries, but wrote in the narrative that these crimes against non-Jews were approved by God because the chosen are above the Ten Commandments and those silly Christians live by that. As I proved easily in my 17-episode podcast series, The Noticing, simply ask a rabbi himself. So, the five books are not the same today as they were when they first were translated. Think about it like this. When you dilute Christianity to its purest intention, it's about love and treating everyone equally with respect. Not just because God's watching, but because it makes you feel good and to act that way and society functions better. The Jews are organized criminal network thousands of years old that looked at the original five books of the Torah and Old Testament and saw a way to leverage power. The Torah to them is simply a justification that they are both race above humanity and are above Moses' rules. The Talmud lays out the ground rules to run the most successful organized crime family in history and exploit and control the rest of the world's population like cattle or batteries. That's who the original rabbis who wrote the Talmud were. They had the power of Sicilian mafia godfathers. Their opinions, worshipped, and the Talmud define our current existence. It's a lot to say. And it's a lot of truth. We are in a time right now when we know where much of this power structure is, but it's not limited just to the Jews. We have it in the Masonic orders. We have it in the secret societies. We have it in the mafia don and families. We have it in the Black Pope. We have it in the Han Dynasty. We have it in the banksters. We have it in the Wall Street leads. These people have all come under a single grouping of flag of an intent, which we call Satanism. But the fact of the matter is, we don't even have to worry about all those titles. We can understand the mechanisms. What we have to understand is there is one group of people that absolutely, without question, must be removed from the face of the earth. And if that removal makes you feel good in the sense of, like, let's get SpaceX to fly them way to Mars, I would prefer it be a sun, but not Mars. But nonetheless, if that makes you feel good, okay. But the fact is, we cannot coexist with them. They are pedophiles. There is no retrieving them. And what all of this garbage that they put on top of truth continues to do is to hide that simple fact. And they're everywhere. And they're using the tools they can to literally continue their existence. And what is that? They begin by traumatizing children sexually. They introduce pornography to men. The fastest growing market in pornography in the United States right now is women. And they create these addictions, which then ultimately lead to desires for children. I don't get that chemical reaction. I don't get the whole thing, but it always leads to the same thing. And even the whole industry is so manipulative and so photographically manipulative that they're using kids many times for what appear to be adult pornography. So the children are part of this from the very core of it. We are trafficking and consuming more children in this country than any other country in the world. And we're sitting here acting like, well, we can fix this with Trump. Question is, why aren't we fixing it? Question is, why is this nation still being allowed to do this? Because we haven't, as a group, stood up and said enough is enough. We haven't put a bounty on every pedophile's head. And men, I'm going to speak to you, women equally, if it applies. If you've got a pornography addiction, you don't want me to be president for a day. Because I'll classify you the same as a pedophile. And I'm sure that'll offend somebody. I always offend somebody. But it hurts when you talk the truth. It's time to stand up and start being who we are. You're connected in those ways. When you start consuming pornography, you're connected to the children, whether you like it or not. And it has to end. We've got to get back to a moral, righteous culture that has a foundation that values children above all things. Most people have had or have a dog. And I talk a lot about this, but you know how much you would do to protect your dog unless you're just a delinquent owner. Why, as a society, are we more apt to protect the innocent dog than we are the innocent child? It makes no sense. And yet, here we are. And here we are. It's dark, it's disturbing, and it's a reflection of a nation that has truly lost its moral ways.
Three things about temptation. How do you deal with it? First of all, you don't believe the devil's lie. Adam and Eve believed the devil's lie. Secondly, you run away from it. Joseph, Genesis 39, ran away from Potiphar's wife who was trying to seduce him. And thirdly, you use scripture, the way Jesus did in his temptation. Don't test the Lord your God. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So lead us not into temptation because it's seductive. And I can bite, and I'm a guy who has bitten far too many times when I've been tempted. But deliver us from the evil one. Yes, he is real. He's the devil, and he's not a little dude in a red jumpsuit. He's a very suave, debonair, sophisticated guy who will deceive. Watch out for him. Help me, Lord God, not to buy his lies.
100%. This is just a moment in time that we have to start really facing the darkness of our society. And as we let this society fall, and as we're watching the collapse around us, it is. You're literally watching the hand of Satan develop the world that he wants you to live in. I lived in Fishtown for 2 years in Philadelphia, and the section next door, the quartier next door, the quarter next door was called Kensington. Kensington is, if you've seen these pictures of people of walking zombies in Philadelphia, that's where Kensington is. It's under the L, typically where it happens, which is the elevated rail. It is unbelievable what's happened in that city. And now there's a new drug out there, which is only making matters worse.
In Kensington, Philadelphia, that's all you have to type in, hit search. It truly looks like something from The Walking Dead. When we got to that block, it was exactly what we saw on social media. It was people walking around, slumped over, half asleep, dragging their knuckles on the ground while walking. One of the very first things that I noticed was everybody had these like ace bandages on their arms and on their legs. Some people were in wheelchairs because they couldn't move anymore, but they were young. And it's because they're injecting this substance and they wake up the next day in a random part of their body is rotting. And that's not enough for people to say no, because when they go to the detox or when they go to the hospital and ask for help, there's no protocols for this yet. It hasn't even been developed. They don't know how to detox somebody from this substance. They don't know how to reverse an overdose from this substance. It is a brand new trend that is coming that we need to be prepared for, and it's killing people.
We end up here because a society is morally broken. We end up here because you have politicians that are owned and controlled because every one of them has been compromised in some sort of pedo situation. They're owned and controlled with that blackmail, and they are opening these borders and giving rights, first and foremost, to those that have no allegiance to the United States. They're giving them $50,000 debit cards. They're giving them transportation, housing, food. And in the meantime, we have these crises on the streets and people are left without anything. Where do we expect them to go? Right where these politicians expect them to go. The politicians are the front men. They're the bag men for the people behind. The people behind are the Wall Streets, the banksters, the brokers. You're dealing with the people in the SES class. You're dealing with the people in our military, the DOD, that are moving these illegals across the country, the same ones that are signing contracts to move them out of the country if Trump wins. Yes, this is the reality of what we live in. It's a morally bankrupt society that has to be fixed, or literally we just end up in the pits and bowels of hell. There is an awakening happening. People are getting fed up, fortunately. Fortunately. So I'll give you a language warning on this one. It's about 30 seconds, so you can endure it if it's too much.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
Fuck you.
That's a worker down on one of the buildings. He's a steel worker. I don't think he left anything. So there you go. That's that right there. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Mark 9:23. We're dealing with a wretched, morally bankrupt system that it constantly works to destroy any of those who seek truth. An update on Julian Assange, which ties into all this.
So just in case you have not heard yet, WikiLeaks founder.
Excuse me about that.
So just in case you have not heard yet, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who's been rotting away in a British prison called Belmarsh for the last 5 years, had his extradition delayed for 3 weeks by a UK judge who required the US do the following, and this is pretty sad, required that he would not be treated unfairly because he's an Australian national. He's not even a US citizen. He's being charged with espionage. How nuts is that? That they would allow him to have freedom of speech and that he would not be given the death penalty. That's it. So he now has 3 weeks to argue for his appeal. Otherwise, he's going to be extradited to the United States. This is a complete injustice. And the only thing that Julian Assange did was pass along information that was handed to him that made the establishment look bad for their war crimes and their blatant corruption. There's a real problem with the United States.
Oh, yeah. We've got a little problem. It's called moral bankruptcy. Moral bankruptcy. That's what we have. And it is a real problem. By the way, I know there's probably some people out there that are still hoping on the Social Security thing. Yet again, another scam.
This is all a scam. I mean, we got people that's getting ready to retire that's going to try to live off $2,000 to $3,000. Impossible. Because what happens, it comes up here, we spend it. We're $35 trillion in debt. We don't have any money. We're dead broke. We are in huge trouble. In this body, we had better start figuring that out, because we're going to have a run on this city here soon, and there's going to be about 150 million people coming up here saying, where's our damn money that we paid in? I could have put my Social Security money, 40 years, in tax, in the market, and probably be worth 8 to 10 million today. But the federal government wasted it. People are going to have to work, continue to work longer and longer. Am I right, Ms. Ginger? Can you say something about Social Security?
Yeah, and I'd like to point out, when Social Security was first founded, those who established it, it was started out as a 2% tax, and they said this will never take more than 6% of your income. Today, it takes 12.4%, and depending on whether you go with CBO or Social Security trustees, it needs to take between 15.8 and 17.8.
Yep, no more Social Security. It's all gone. Things are happening, and at the same time, we're starting to see the wokesters having to face accountability in a way that they never have before. This is our society. And when we start to look at the moral bankruptcy of society, we have to start to look at the people that are supposed to be leading that foundation of a society. Here's one. Here's a district attorney in New York. Now, let me set this up. She's a New York district attorney, Sandra Dorley. And she runs from the police after the officer tried pulling her over. And then she says she should get special treatment because she's a DA. Here's our moral bankruptcy. Again, Dorley says that she didn't feel like stopping because she was stressed with the murder cases. The corrupt Karen was driving 55 in a 35 zone and didn't pull over when the police tried stopping her. The DA went all the way to her home and called the police chief when the officer confronted her. She tried arguing that she shouldn't be pulled over because he was driving, because she was driving a black SUV.
Didn't stop at all. Did you not hear my lights or sirens or anything?
No, I didn't actually. I was on the phone.
Okay. Well, you're not supposed to be on the phone while you're driving either.
Yes, I am, with the hands-free. Absolutely.
Okay. Why are you so upset at me? I'm doing my job. You just admitted to me that you were going 55 and a 35 on Phillips Road.
Can you please tell him to leave me alone? It's...
Officer Christofoli. Can you stay over here, ma'am? This is a legal traffic stop. Do you have your ID?
No, it's in my purse. Here.
You have your purse right there.
No, this is my lunch. Would you talk to Dennis? I'm the one who prosecutes it, okay? Just go ahead and do it. Go ahead. You know what I've been dealing with all day? 3 murders in the city. And do you think I really care if I was going 20 miles over the speed limit?
Okay, I'm just doing my job. If you pulled over when you saw my lights, which obviously you did.
I thought you were going somewhere else because I thought no one would ever pull a black SUV if you ran my plates.
I didn't run your plate. I just called your plate out. And then I'm following you because you're not stopping.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Hi.
Hi. I'll talk to Jeff. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I didn't want to pull over on Phillips Road. It was just, I figured I'd just pull into my driveway.
Okay. Well,
and I called Dennis and I said, okay, that's me that they're trying to stop.
Okay.
So that's the end of the story.
Okay. But you should know better, right?
I was speeding. I know that.
Okay. Right. So why didn't you just stop like you're supposed
to? Because I didn't feel like stopping on Phillips Road at 5:30.
That's not your choice. You know that.
Well, I made it my choice.
Okay. Now you made it a bigger deal than it needed to be.
It's a really bigger deal. When people start coming, it's a much bigger deal.
Well, you caused that, Sandra. Well, what do you want us to do? Not do our job because it's you?
No.
You broke another law because of that. Right? And you should know better.
This woman is a classic example of an elite liberal witch. She is beyond accountability. She thinks she has no accountability to the people, and she laughs off everything that every one of us would be held accountable for. We are talking about moral bankruptcy, and it's at every single level of our society. And the hiding of the truth behind all of this. Okay, moral bankruptcy is at our core, and what does it ultimately lead to? Because everybody in power ultimately ends up in the same place, and I said it already. They end up with the kids. She doesn't need to be blackmailed. She's the one that'll just be telling people, I'm the law and I can do whatever I want. Same thing happened in another example of this is in Tufts University. This is kind of enjoyable. This was a Department of Economics, University of California, Berkeley professor. I mean, well, she got her degree, excuse me, from University of Berkeley. This is now at Tufts University. She was at one of the protests. The Emory University economics professor, Carolyn Folan, thrown to the ground by police during a pro-Palestinian protest. And MMA wins, and she gets her face crushed into the sidewalk with another officer barreling his knee into her back. Poor Karen. So, thanks, Lisa. Obfuscation. I was trying to get that word out. I was just stumbling tonight. Thank you. All right, so here's the deal. Our society is going to continue to suffer its pains of craziness because we don't have courage. We have people that are corrupt. And we have to do everything we can to protect the children because, unfortunately, they are the ones that not only have the light, they also have the most, they also have the greatest courage. This young girl, 13-year-old. The teen shares a horrifying account following a friend's violent assault by a trans student at Montgomery County Middle School. A 13-year-old boy who identifies as a girl named Melanie was recently transferred to Montgomery County Middle School and made a hit list to target girls in the school. The students warned counselors and teachers 5 hours prior to the attack. The 13-year-old violently attacked a 12-year-old student in the cafeteria, unprovoked, bludgeoning her in the head repeatedly with a Stanley, causing head injuries. You could have stopped it It was 5 hours from when I told it it was going to happen. I don't get how you couldn't have stopped it. This is the little girl's friend who's giving testimony.
That morning, I went to the guidance counselor and told her since I was second on the hit list, knowing that there was something going to happen, because there was a girl she was targeting every day at lunch. And they would go to the counselor and tell them every day that this is going to happen. And Wednesday, I went with two others, and each of us filled out a whole paper full of what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. And then I went to chorus, and I was told, watch your back. He is going to come for you and this other girl at lunch. And when I was at lunch, I was terrified, and I told Miss Fattori that that was happening, and she said, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. But early that morning, I was told I was not going to see Mel for the rest of that week. But I was in lunch, and all of a sudden, I just hear all this screaming and everybody running. And I see Mel running in after somebody, and everyone's screaming and running. But the girl who got attacked didn't see it because she was faced backwards. And all of a sudden, you just hear these terrible, like, loud bangs of the Stanley bouncing off her head. And then you see Mel grabbing her hair and hitting her against the table and just repeatedly hitting her with the Stanley. There was blood going everywhere. I was the table right behind. And all you see is blood everywhere. And it was just... And then you say in your email that it was 8 minutes, but we timed it. It was 28 minutes. And we had to sit in there and watch them clean up her blood off those tables and ground. And we had to watch them take her out with blood dripping down her face. And I will never forget that. And laying in bed last night, I just kept repeating it in my head. And we shouldn't have had to sit there and just watch them clean up her blood with the mop. Watch her repeatedly yelling that I'm going to murder you and just hitting her with the Stanley. Oh, and God. I don't get how, you couldn't have stopped it. It was 5 hours from when I told you it was going to happen and when it happened. It was 5 whole hours. I don't get how you couldn't have stopped that. And how Ms. Fattori said, don't worry, it's not going to happen. We have her under control. But clearly you didn't.
We call that courage. That's the sort of thing that used to run this country. And this is a 12-year-old student. Apparently, we've lost our spine in this nation. Apparently, we've lost what it's like to be adults. It's apparently, we've lost what it's like to be the protectors of children. This young child's going to have that image in them for the rest of their life. It's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. And the school district, for all those teachers, I just always hope somebody from that school listens, because this is, you wouldn't want me to be president for the day, because I literally would sign an executive order to have every teacher and every administrator that was involved in denying that hang in on the school grounds. Whether it's legal or not, I don't care. I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of the weakness. I'm so sick of letting children be destroyed. I'm so sick of the pedophiles that run crazy over this world. I am so sick of this group of people that are obsessed in killing children and the mass of people that do nothing. Time to hunt. Time to hunt. And time to build millstones and make this thing right. These children need protectors. These children need people to step up and say, I'm here for you. And for every teacher that's weak or sold out to this transgender garbage, man, you need to go or just get your face beat in. I'm sorry, this is getting ridiculous. Better yet, rather than that, just every teacher that wants to support the transgender thing, you just need to go through the surgery yourself. We'll send you off to a nice little island somewhere you can all live together. We got to stand up as a nation. It's getting old. And I am all about praying for stuff. You know that. But there's a time when this has to have a stand put before people so that they see that there's a consequence. Pedophiles have no place. In the Bible, there's only one crime. Doing harm to the little ones is the one crime that gives us a crime and an action, which is millstones. Start making millstones, man. Start making millstones. This is just where it's at. We have a defunct, psychopathic, mentally disturbed, child-obsessed group of people in this nation, and every one of them needs to go. And it's global. There is no redeeming them. Once they get the taste of children's blood or the hatred for children in them, there is no redeeming them. And I'm sure somebody will try to rebuke me on that, and I don't care. We need a spine in this nation again. We need a spine. Pedophiles are a wide range of people. They can encompass a broad spectrum of things in attitudes, in approaches, but it's always the same. They want and desire the little ones and to corrupt the little ones for themselves. And they want to do everything they can to hide that truth from the public. Time to muck out the barns. Time to see what the truth is. Try to take a stand as a nation and help these little ones and save them in the name of our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. We're deeply humbled and we carry a heavy weight tonight of the pain that continues to be extended upon these children. Forgive us as a nation for being complacent. Forgive us as a nation for doing so little in the time of such crisis. Forgive us as a nation for allowing these psychopaths to get hold of our kids, to twist the truth, to get children to change their gender, to get children to hate each other, to get children to suffer this violence. We've lost our moral way. We've lost our moral footing. So, Father, we sit here tonight and we'll repent for a nation. We'll repent for all this nation in an attempt to give mercy upon this nation for the horrors in which we've allowed. And so we repent. We repent for not being there. We repent for a nation that has turned its back on children, that's more interested in its puppies than the little ones. We repent for a nation that doesn't react with the horrors and damages that are happening to kids on a daily basis. The mother today that was convicted of starving and killing her two babies and then got mad at her husband for making her look bad. True story. What have we become? We repent for the pulpits that cease to believe in deliverance and cease to heal them and cease to be the proactive force on the ground in schools, around schools. The pulpit that walked backwards and let Bibles being taken out of every institution. The pulpit that won't speak politics. The pulpit that won't do anything but simply speak with skinny jeans and smoke machines and encourage a marshmallow pew in dead stone walls. We repent for that, Father. And we repent for any actions that we've taken that are not enough. Should have been more. We pray for a revival of a people. We pray for a revival of a nation that needs a pulpit, a strong pulpit. I don't care what form it takes. We pray for a revival of people that it love children. And so we lift that prayer up today, Father, that there'll be a spark of revival in the hearts of the people to realize that these children are precious, that everything that we stand for pivots on them, no matter what the cost, we have to protect them. And we pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Heavy show tonight, but it's just things that have to be said. It's a sadness that settles in upon us that makes us realize just truly what has happened. We've lost our way. And it's sad that we've lost our way so far because we shouldn't have. We were given everything. We were given a world. We were given a country. We were given so much. And the question is, what are we going to do with it? What do we believe? What is it that we believe in? So, some final words from Bishop Emmanuel.
You know who put Joe Biden in the White House? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know why? Because he is sending a message, and a profound one too, to the United States of America. He said, I have given you a president that forgets his name because you, America, have forgotten my holy name. You have forgotten. Forgotten. And this is a warning out of love. Because if you continue forgetting my name, the next time my hand will come upon you. And let me see your superpower saving you from the hand of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let me tell you this. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. Be careful.
Yes, he is. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I wanna feel something. Let me get back in.
I just wanna breathe again. Time.
just to feel.